I'll carry you, you'll carry me, we'll help each other through it. Come on and see, good movement draws good movement.
Welcome to Good Movement Draws Good Movement, the podcast where farmers, ranchers, and rural folks can grow relationally through awareness, understanding, and effective communication. Hey, it's T. I'm your host, and I, along with my guests, will be covering topics related to drawing good movement. Things like self and social awareness, brain science, positive psychology, extending grace, and so much more. We'll share tools that can help you understand why you are the way you are, why others are the way they are, and how you can use that to step out of self-told lies with grace and compassion to draw good movement in conversations, relationships, and life in rural America. Let's go draw good movement. Welcome back to the Good Movement Draws Good Movement podcast. Today's guest is someone who I have followed on social media and admired for a very long time. Jessie Jarvis is with us today. She is a wife, mother, third generation rancher, and founder of the West. Jessie was born and raised on her family's cattle ranch in southern Idaho, which at an early age instilled in her the importance of strong work ethic and a deep appreciation of the American West. In addition to her lifelong involvement raising cattle, Jessie has had over a decade's worth of experience in print and digital media, both writing for and producing various agriculture and Western fashion publications, as well as freelancing in ag and Western communications. Jessie's passion for ag and Western industries is unmatched and is what led her to create Of the West, a job platform built specifically for the two industries. Since its launch in 2021, Of the West has helped connect hundreds of employers and job seekers, partnered with cornerstone organizations in the industry, and is leading the charge in cultivating the future of the agriculture and Western industries. Jessie, first, thanks so much for being here. I'm so excited for our conversation. And second, I just gave your formal bio, but would you take a little bit of time and tell us more about yourself and how you got here?
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I've looked up to you for a really long time, so this feels like just a really exciting moment. So thank you for that. But yeah, like you said, so I grew up on my family's cow-calf operation. I'm an only child, so it was my parents. And I was an active participant in our ranch. And then I went to college. And when I went to college, I wanted to be an anesthesiologist. I was tired of working on the ranch because when you're a ranch kid, all you do is work, right? Like snow days, they are not a vacation. They are more work. Like school is exciting because it's a vacation from work. And so I was ready to be done with ranch stuff and I was going to be an anesthesiologist. So I was going to get my biology degree. And 6 weeks into my first semester of college, I realized how much I missed the people in agriculture. I realized how much I missed ranching and my family. Like I obviously miss my parents, but just the people in our industry, I missed them more than anything. And so I changed my major to a business degree because I went to a small liberal arts college. And at the time, that was the closest thing to agriculture that they offered, if you will. So I graduated from college with a business degree, and I spent the first 3 years from college working for the Idaho Cattle Association as their communications director. And then after I spent 3 years there, I moved home to the ranch to work full-time alongside my parents. And then about a year after that, Justin and I got married, and he and I have been here ever since. Justin works full-time on our family operation as well. And we now have two kids who get to enjoy that, and we get to raise the next generation, which is so rewarding. And in that time, which gosh, that's now been 10 years that I've been home, I've done a little bit of everything, mainly because when I first moved back home, it was my parents, our employee Gustavo, and then myself. But when Justin and I got married, Justin became full-time on the ranch as well. And there wasn't necessarily enough for five of us to do full-time on the ranch. Like I always had a little free time. And I am somebody who I am happiest when there are a lot of projects in front of me. So I would freelance or I would, you know, have a random side hustle which then turned into owning Western Runway, a Western fashion magazine that we owned for quite a while before we sold it in, I believe that was 2022 or 2021 maybe. And then creating Of the West, which happened in 2020. And as you mentioned, it is a job platform specifically focused on jobs in agriculture and Western industries. And I think my main reason for creating that was I am so incredibly passionate about agriculture and the Western industry. And because I am somebody who in the last 10 years has been straight out of college looking for an internship and looking for that first job and, you know, looking to hire on the ranch or even hire when I was at Idaho Cattle, I've sat in on a lot of those job interviews. And regardless of what it was, whether it was in farming, ranching, Western fashion, all of those industries, we think they're all so different, but the thing that unites us is our love for the Western way of life and our love for agriculture. And I saw a number of challenges in that as far as the difficulty in hiring the right person, hiring people who, like, we know people who want to work in our industry and who are passionate about it are out there, but man, they're hard to find. And if you talk to those people, they have the hardest time finding jobs. So if you have both of these groups of people and you know they need to be connected and they want to be connected, but they're saying they can't be connected. So Of the West is basically that connection platform for them to meet and, you know, and further and solve those solutions.
I personally think Of the West is such a cool platform because it is hard to find the right fit sometimes for employees in ranching and agriculture and Western. And Tom and I, we work for a large ranch. We don't have our own operation, but we work a lot with interns. And some of the best interns that we've had would be some of the least likely interns, if that makes sense. Like, they don't have any background or experience in agriculture, but they have a great attitude and they have incredible try. And so they're just willing to learn. And those are some of the best interns we've had.
Well, and two, I think one of those things for people who are outside of the industry, if you have a passion for agriculture or Western sports or, you know, whatever it may be, but you were born outside of the industry, it can feel really daunting to think, how am I ever going to break into that? Especially when you go to a place like Indeed or Monster, you know, wherever you find jobs, which they're all great sites and I will never fault them. But it is, they say that what 98 or 2% of us feed the population. So we feed 98% plus ourselves. When you go to a mainstream job site, it feels like 2% of the jobs on that site are actually jobs in our industry that you would enjoy working for or at. So why are you going to a site where 98% of the stuff is not something that you are geared to or are interested in? And like I said earlier about those people who are born outside of the industry, if you don't have the network to get into those types of positions, then it feels like it's even more difficult. So by creating a place where people who are looking for that can come and they know that that's what they're going to find, it just really helps make that process a lot easier and, you know, much more simple.
Yes, it's an incredible site. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to ask this question that I ask all my guests first, and then we'll get more into that. But because effective low-stress communication isn't always what comes to mind for people when they hear the phrase good movement, I do ask all my guests, what first came to mind for you when you heard the phrase good movement before you learned about it from me or Stockmanship?
Yeah. So I think of good movement as in like moving your body, like what is good for you and like the root and center of who you are. Like that's what that brings to me, like good synergy within yourself.
Yes. So I don't know if you've heard the story about why I asked this question, but one of my friends thought that I was referring to bowel movements. And it really like, doesn't matter if you're talking about your bowels, bovines, people, moving your body, whatever, it's the principle applies because you can't force it and have it be good movement.
No, and good movement brings good movement. There's no doubt about that. Like what is like positive brings positive. You have to be what you want in the world. That all like that's just how the world works.
Yes. So now I've got a real hard hitting question here. No, not really, but it's an important question. I think You have a really unique view in the ag and Western space because you work closely with your family on the ranch, and you also work with employers and employees of the West. So having that unique perspective, what do you see as some of the biggest communication challenges we face when it comes to working together, either as family, coworkers, employees, employers, et cetera?
Oh, there are lots. And I think that the first one that I don't know that this is specifically applies only to agriculture, but I think in general, we, America as a society, has gone away from this idea that you can like agree to disagree or still respect people who maybe don't have the same opinions or viewpoints that you do. Like everything turns into an argument. And because of that, I think social media has unfortunately played a role in that, because it's really easy for everybody to share their opinion. And when you're behind a screen or behind a keyboard, it's a lot easier to type the mean thing versus you would never actually say that out loud to somebody in person. But I think because of that, we almost hesitate to really candidly like share things, because we're, one, afraid of what people are going to say, as far as like, and I'm thinking now in more of like a family business situation, like if you're having a problem with somebody, maybe you don't want to talk about it or address it, because not that you're necessarily worried about your family, but more so about like what the reaction will be. And then instead of being able to just talk about it like adults, then it's going to be turned into this big like upheaval, if you will. And I think the same applies to employees and employers. I think oftentimes, because we've lost this ability to truly have like a conversation and be willing to compromise, that's another thing that I think has kind of gone out the window, unfortunately, in society. And, you know, I've always heard the saying that in compromise, everybody loses, which I understand how you can get to that, because nobody gets their way. But at the end of the day, I don't necessarily think it's about getting your way. I think it's about solving the problem. And I think solutions come from compromise. But we have this problem of we don't want to have conversations. We are unwilling to compromise. We see it as our way only. And I think all in all, that makes for really difficult opportunities, whether it is in the workforce, like with your employee-employer relationships, or in family businesses and working with your family, or even in businesses like ours where we have family members and we have employees who are outside of the family. Like it just makes it difficult in general, which I don't necessarily know that I answered your question. I just added a lot to it.
No, I think that is exactly right. I have gotten a comment on the internet about kindness and how if you're being kind, you're conceding. And I think that's a more common thing than I even realized. But somewhere along the way, we have misunderstood kindness. You know, if you're being kind, then you're conceding. Or if you're being kind, you're...
No, I totally know what you mean. The other thing I think too is people have a difficult time with honesty. People think if you're going to be honest, then that means you're being mean. You can be honest with somebody and present it in a very kind, like understanding, no meanness insinuated way. But that same thing of, I think that when it comes to like, to honesty and kindness and conversation, man, how did we get to where we are?
Yeah, yes, that's what I lost, is that if you're being honest, you're not kind. And if you're being kind, you're not honest. And that's just not true.
Yeah, no, you can absolutely have both.
Yes. And honestly, that's part of, you know, what you're saying about social media and people behind the keyboard. That's honestly a big piece of the puzzle to how I got here talking about Good Movement, is because I was so sick of seeing the division online. And I thought, you know what? If one person can communicate with a herd of hundreds of head of cattle, like, why aren't we applying this to humans?
No kidding.
Obviously, it's more difficult with humans because cattle don't experience emotions like people do, and that plays a factor. But this principle applies.
Oh, it absolutely does.
So I polled my audience on Instagram a while back about the biggest communication challenges, like the question I just asked you. And a lot of the answers that I got were related to the older generation. And this is the way we've always done it. Is this something you run into either with your family or with the operations and businesses that you work with through Of the West? Is this as big of a problem as my Instagram poll led me to believe?
You know, I think it is. That being said, I'm not a fan of the phrase like, well, this is how we've always done it. But at the same time, I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Please do.
Because I think that that's one of the things that we all say when it comes to agriculture specifically or Western industries, that that's the thing that's holding us back, which I agree. But at the same time, we are also the first to say that, man, farming and ranching is so hard and it's so volatile. And here we are relying on Mother Nature. And there's so much of our industry that's outside of our control. So if you have all of these other risks that you can't necessarily like mitigate, you're going to do the thing that you know that works, right? Mm-hmm. So I fully understand why we are stuck in our ways. And as much as I would like us to like to get out of our own way so that we could move forward and not be so, well, this is how we've always done it, I also understand why that is, because at some point there, you can't gamble with everything. And if you only have a sliver of what you do that you can control, you're going to want to control it in the way that you know how. So that being said, I didn't necessarily answer the question there, but I am somebody who I absolutely see both sides of that. And I would like our industries to really get to a place where we can kind of move through that with, again, understanding all of that.
Yes. And I think it also comes back to what you were saying about compromise.
Yeah, that is a big one for sure.
We can compromise. We can try some new things. But it also goes back to what you said about being conversation averse. You have to start with the conversation. And you kind of have to come at it from a place of, it doesn't matter if you're talking to the older generation or your boss or whatever, I think you kind of have to come at it from a place of, I understand this is why we do it, but I have this idea, like, come in open. And when you come in open, then they're more likely to be open.
Yes. Oh, for sure. I completely agree. Well, and I think about that too. So with our operation, we're for my parents. So they have their own cow herd. And then Justin and I have our own personal cow herd as well. And we're very lucky that we're able to run those kind of together, but separate, if you will. So a lot, like as far as when Justin and I wean our calves, it's the same time when my parents wean, like we all brand at the same time and everything is kind of done collectively, but it's still done like when we brand, Justin and I brand one day and then my parents brand the next. So everything is separate, but we all still get to work together. And that definitely aids our operation and makes it work out the way that it does. But Justin and I have the freedom and flexibility to then make decisions with our cow herd that then those are the types of decisions that we would also like my dad to make, but he has his own. And so it's one of those things like if we want to buy a different type of hay, Justin and I have the ability to do that for ourselves and kind of see prove like, hey, this does work. We just did this and, you know, and we were successful. Or we might make a decision and think, man, that didn't work out so well. So that is nice that we kind of have that ability. I know that a lot of operations are obviously not that way, but I think that the thing that helps us there is just because with me being the female and like the daughter of it, it allows things to be kept more separately in a business. Whereas like if Justin and my dad were father and son, then we would do things collectively together. So I think that that's the thing that kind of helps us there, but it's tough. Like I see both sides of it. The other thing too, and I mentioned this earlier, is you have to be what you want in the world. Like if you want it, you have to give it. So for everybody who is listening and thinks, man, I am so tired of hearing the like, this is why we do it. Put yourself in the shoes of the generation that you're frustrated with. When you are their age, are you going to say the same thing or are you going to make the same complaints because you have been doing things for a certain way? Like if you want to change, you then have to be the change. So when you are their age or in their phase of life, you have to be what you wanted when you were at your age where you are right now. And I think that that's one of those things that we see so clearly now, But when we get there, I think that things are not necessarily going to change. So 50 years from now, for all of those who are listening and you're complaining about the first generation of your family business that's stressing you out, like, you have got to be the change and not be that way when you're their age.
Yes, that's so good. And I think what you're talking about, how you and Justin have the opportunity to run things separate, it speaks to modeling for other people what you want to see from other people. Because I'm very convinced that we can't tell anyone anything unless they're open-minded about it. But you can show people, mm-hmm. and they're more likely to learn from you if they watch you doing whatever it is that you would like them to do. And so even if this, I mean, this applies even if you don't have the opportunity like you guys do, but you just want to model how you want to be communicated with or how you would like, you know, your desk organized. I don't know. That's a totally random one, but
no, I completely agree. Like if you're frustrated because when you guys come to have a crucial conversation and yelling is involved and you don't like yelling, make sure that you're not the one yelling. Like, come into it with a very open and understanding way. If that's what you want, like, you have to be what you want to see.
Yes. And I think on that too, ask the older generation, or even if it's not, we're using the older generation as an example, but even if it's just your boss or whoever it is, or coworker, and they're saying, this is the way we've always done it, ask them why. Like, not from a place of being condescending, but a place of curiosity.
Yeah, and genuine understanding.
Yeah.
I think that that goes a long ways, because oftentimes we only see part of what's in front of us, and we don't necessarily understand, you know, the problem or the project as a whole. And so that's oftentimes why we have these, well, why don't we do it this way ideas? But then if we understand it, we think, oh, okay, wait, now I need to take a step back. And now that I see the whole picture, I get why it is this way, or this would have been a problem. But now because I see the whole picture, we could do it this way instead. And I just think that there's a lot more opportunity there.
Yes, I agree. My next question is about Of the West.
Ooh, okay.
So, I mean, you guys just launched your new website.
We did, yes.
And you've been rolling with this for almost 3 years now?
Yes, so January of 2021. So close to 3 years, and then the new website launched in October.
But the job platform is not the only thing that you guys offer through Of the West, right? You guys do webinars and...
Yeah, so we do so in the spring, we always have a webinar geared at job seekers of all ages. And that's, we call it strengthening your future self. So we have a lot of job seekers who maybe they are in like their 30s or 40s, and they think, man, I'm ready for a career change, but I don't necessarily know that my experiences or my resume match what I want to do next, right? So, but they have a lot of awesome skills and talents and all of those soft skills, like showing up on time and a hard work ethic that, you know, the workforce is missing out on. So we really talk about how to hone in on what you're good at and really like get sure in who you are, your skills, and how to, I don't want to say fluff your resume because that makes it sound like we're lying here, but like how to position yourself as the person who can use what you learned from your old experiences that maybe have nothing to do with what you're doing now, because some of those experiences and skills are obviously going to transition into what you want to do next or now. And then we have a webinar every fall for college-age students called Navigating Your Next Step. And we focus on internships, first jobs, when you should start applying for those, how to set yourself apart from others, you know, how to make the most of career fairs, those types of things. So we do those two annually. And then we have a couple other webinars that kind of change depending on the season or topic that we also have throughout the year. We have a section on our site specifically for resources. So if you are somebody who is looking to update your resume and you need some ideas, or if you're an employer and you have a job interview coming up and you can't think of any good questions, we have some interview questions that can kind of help, like, I don't want to say jog your memory, but just give you a space to think like, oh, this is a good question. This now makes me think of this question and sets you on the creative mindset there. And then we're also at the beginning of the year, 2024, we are launching a directory. So this is going to be a portion of the site that is dedicated to those who would consider themselves to be like solo entrepreneurs, freelancers, you know, agencies, graphic designers, photographers, journalists, anything of that realm, if you will, who you need clients to pay your bills, but you don't necessarily need a full-time job. So when a job is on of the West, you think, man, I would be good at that, but it's a full-time position. I don't need a full-time position. I just need a new client who wants a project that's similar to that. Because we get a ton of questions like, hey, I'm looking for a web designer. Do you know of anybody who has industry experience who has an opening right now? So that side of the site, the directory, will be where solo entrepreneurs, agencies, you know, whatever, contractors can pay a monthly fee to list themselves. That way, those who are searching for those types of projects, whether it is somebody who's looking for an equine photographer for, you know, a sale catalog or a graphic designer or a web designer, anything of that nature, can go and find that person.
Oh, that's exciting. I really love the webinar. I haven't attended a webinar, but I love that you guys do the webinars. And I especially like that you're focusing on soft skills and like how to transition, because I think a lot of us, at least for me, when you go to college, and you too, when you go to college, you go in with this idea that you're going to do this thing and have this career, and then it changes. And I personally think that having those soft skills and a good work ethic and the ability to communicate is far more important, because you can learn the rest, right?
Oh, absolutely. And in reality, too, that's when it comes to our industries, like that's why we want to employ people who grew up in ag and grew up in Western sports, because they, you know, they had chores growing up and they understand responsibility and they understand showing up every single day and being consistent, and they get hard work and they get timeliness and all of those things that the rest of America in the workforce is complaining about. And so that's one of those things that really makes our industry unique. And I think that that's why we are as strong as we are, but it really helps to be able to find those types of people. But yeah, soft skills, they are absolutely crucial, because you can teach yourself anything. That's why college exists, right? To learn. And I am a big proponent of college and trade schools and certifications and, you know, any way that you can continue to get education, I am all for it. But I will also say that once you get your, you know, your degree or your certification or your trade, you can't quit learning then. You have to be a continued lifelong learner. Even now, you know, every year I make it a goal to be part of a mastermind or some kind of boot camp or something that I am investing in myself to continue to learn, whether it's focused specifically on like the workforce and hiring and jobs, so that I can grow of the West to be a stronger platform just based on, you know, the trends that are happening on that side of the industry, or if it's something for myself so that I can then, you know, continue to be a better and stronger leader. Like, you have to continue to be somebody who is constantly learning and educating yourself. And so college is a great, or trade or certification, you know, whatever it may be. I think that that is a great foundation, because it really like starts that love of learning.
Same. I also every year invest in myself in some way to further my education. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be an investment. I mean, that's something that I choose to do, like a bigger ticket item. But you can also just invest in yourself with some time set aside to read a book or explore and research an area you're interested in that then helps you be a better version of yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And honestly, like, you're listening to a podcast right now. Podcasts are the perfect way of doing that. And they are a free investment for the most part. I mean, I know some have subscriptions, but I tell you what, there is a lot of free information out there in the world of podcasts that is coming through your speakers or your headphones every single week that you can tap into to continue to learn. I think it's important to set aside time for it. I want to make that clear. But you don't necessarily have to set aside special time for it. Like, you can listen to something on the way back from taking your kids to school, and like that can be your me time, or, you know, you can make it a part of your everyday routine so that you don't have to think, well, man, I am already tapped from 6 to 8 at night. Like, where am I going to fit this in? Like, you can fit it in easily enough in your day and what you're already doing.
Yes, I download whatever I want to listen to on the way back from the bus stop, and I listen on the way back from the bus stop or when I'm doing other mindless tasks like laundry or dishes.
I will say this has nothing to do with the podcast, but another thing too on this. So chores that you hate, I have always hated laundry. But guess what? When you are a mom of a lot of children, not that two is a lot, but like, I mean, they go through clothes, right? And Justin goes through clothes. I feel like I'm folding laundry all the time and the pile is only continuing to grow. And I absolutely hate doing it. So I made it fun. And how I did that is I do it in the evenings after dinner. I shut our bedroom door and I go fold laundry and I pour myself a glass of wine and I turn on Real Housewives, which sounds like the silliest thing in the world. But I now enjoy it because I have my glass of wine and I have my me time and I haven't, like, I didn't have to leave the house for it. I did a task. So I feel like I'm getting something done by it. But that's the easiest thing. Like, if you love listening to podcasts, but you absolutely hate unloading the dishwasher or cleaning out the stalls or whatever it is, like, make it fun by double dipping and making it that learning time too.
Yeah, that's like a great life hack. Honestly, it's great.
Yeah, maybe sub out the wine if it's from the hours of, like I said, 6 a.m. to, you know, 5 o'clock. But yeah, if it's after 5 o'clock, you can take your drink with you too.
Oh, and in addition to Of the West and all of the things and resources you have going on there, you also launched your own podcast, Leaders of the West, this past summer. And I'm a huge fan. So can you tell us a little more about your podcast?
Yes. Oh, well, thank you. That, I tell you what, which you probably know this too, when you are somebody who is recording podcasts, especially if you do solo episodes and there's not anybody else there to talk to, it can feel like the most awkward thing because there's no, I don't want to call it instant gratification, but you think that people are going to be interested in it, but then you're always kind of second guessing yourself. Like, is this boring? Because you can't see, like, at least if you're speaking in front of a crowd, you can get people's reaction. Like, you can see if they are hanging on every word or if they are bored out of their minds. And so you can kind of ebb and flow. But when it comes to recording a podcast, there's no way to know that. So it can honestly feel like kind of a lonely, like stressful, awkward thing to do. But, you know, I digress there. But so Leaders of the West, we launched in the summer of 2023, and it is a podcast for innovators and change makers in the ag and Western industries. And we kind of run the gamut of who we have as guests. So because we represent a wide variety of industries when it comes to farming, ranching, you know, the livestock industry as a whole, Western sports, Western lifestyle, we try to have guests from all of those different sectors of the industry. And then we also represent employers and job seekers and, you know, entrepreneurs and business owners. And so we also try to have a variety of those types of guests as well to really like meet people where they are and be relatable for everybody.
I really like I like all the episodes, but your episode about leading by example was such, like, I was like, yes, yes, girl, yes. Oh, that was such a great episode. So if you haven't listened to that episode of Leaders of the West, please go do so because it's a great episode. And it also, you know, like the first step of good movement is becoming self-aware. And that episode really speaks to self-awareness. Listen, if I want other people to do this, then I have to be aware of what I'm doing and also step up and do it. And I think you also talked about it in one of your Q&A episodes too, about it. I think the question was something about how do I get my spouse to be supportive?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it was. And honestly, like the first step is make sure you're a supportive spouse. And if you are, then your spouse should hopefully see what you're doing mm-hmm. and then they want to be supportive too, which Justin is the most supportive person. And so again, like positivity brings positivity. He's super supportive of me. It's easy to be supportive of him. And because I'm supportive of him, he wants to be more supportive of me. And, you know, that momentum only goes up. But I guess, you know, it's funny that you bring that specific solo episode up because that's kind of what we talked about at the beginning of this. Like, self-awareness is huge. And really, like, what is that Mother Teresa quote about if you want to change the world, go home and love your family? Like, you have to be the change you wish to see. You have to practice the golden rule and treating others how you want to be treated, and I don't want to get on a soapbox by any means because I feel like I've probably done enough of that in this, but like going back to the idea that I just really see that America and our society as a whole has lost the ability to, you know, to compromise and agree to disagree. And in a way, we are a society of hypocrites, right? Like if it happens to us, we're not okay with it. But if we're the one doing it, then it's totally fine. And I say that as somebody, I have caught myself in more of those like hypocritical type moments than I can count. And every time that is a gut check of, holy cow, that is the easiest way for me to improve is to change how I'm doing this or to change my mindset. Because if I don't think that it's appropriate to like have this done to me, then I sure as heck should not be doing it or saying it or acting that way to somebody else, right? And I mean, that can be on a, in a personal one of how you communicate with others. You know, I think about sometimes, like, let's say that Justin and I are fighting and I say something that is just absolutely cruel to him because I'm mad at him. But then if I think to myself, man, if he said that to me, would that like cut me? Oh, it absolutely would. Then I shouldn't say it to him, right? And we don't do that. But I think that that's an example that is very understandable because we've all kind of, you know, been in a heated argument in our life and or people have said things that are, you know, that hurt us that I don't think that they would, if it was said to them, they wouldn't want to said to them either. So going back to self-awareness and the importance of that, I think that if everybody in America was 10% more self-aware, we would be on the right track in this country.
Oh my gosh, I 1000% agree. And being self-aware and recognizing that what you do in your energy and all of the things has, it affects more than you think it affects. It's not just the words that you say. It's how you said them. It's the expression on your face. Like we affect so much more than we think.
Oh, we do. And facial expressions, that is a big one too. Like how you look at people. I mean, I have the like, what the heck are you doing? Look, trust me, I know. And I give it more than I realize. I don't want to say by accident, because obviously if I gave it, I thought it. But even just controlling those types of things and that outward expression, I mean, it's no different than what you say out of your mouth, the look on your face and your body language. And, you know, I think that those are all big things that it really helps if we can tune into that, because it makes us better people. It makes the people around us better because we're being better to them. And it brings good movement.
Yes. I don't know if you've read any of Sean Acor's books. He's a positive psychologist.
Oh, I haven't.
The Happiness Advantage, Big Potential, Before Happiness. I don't know. I listened to his books summer 2022. And I can't remember which one it's in because like I said, I binged all of them. But he says, if you don't like what you're seeing, change yourself first. So if you're in a conversation with someone and you're seeing this expression on their face and you're like, I don't know why that's happening. Like, it's okay to take a pause, think about it, try a different way.
Yes. Well, and that's the other thing too, that you bring up is like, what is this saying? I feel like I've butchered all the sayings that I've given. So you guys don't judge me for that. But like, you can't do the same thing time after time and expect a different result. Like if you want a different result, go at your problem or, you know, whatever you're trying to accomplish in a different way. And honestly, I think that because at the end of the day, what that does is it brings a different perspective. Like we've all been looking for something in the pantry or the fridge and we can't see it, but you go, you know, walk away and you come back and, oh, look, it was right there in front of me. Like all it takes is that different perspective. And that really, really changes the game.
Yes. Yes. You have to pause. Yeah, you have to think about that. And, you know, I think we have also become this society that doesn't like to take a pause. We just want to go, 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 go. But in stockmanship, we have a lot of phrases today, but they're all great. Slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yes.
So pause and get smooth.
Oh, that is huge. And that is one that I feel like has really become apparent to me in life in the last 10 years, for sure. I don't think that I got that when I was young. And I'm not saying I'm not young now. Maybe I am. But it has really changed the game in the last 10 years. I've really like taken that saying to heart.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Well, I want to thank you again for coming on. And then I want you to tell everyone where they can find you on the interwebs.
Yes. So me personally, you can find me across all platforms at Mrs. J Jarv. So MrsJJarv, with the exception of TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. I can't, nothing against those of you who love TikTok, but it's just not my place. So Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and then Of the West on Instagram and LinkedIn. It's at ofthewest.co. That's also our web address, ofthewest.co, not.com.co. And then on Facebook, it's at Jobs of the West. So if you type that in, Of the West will come up. And then if you have any questions, feel free to DM me or, you know, drop us an email, hello@ofthewest.co. Those can get forwarded on to me. But any way you want to reach out or any questions you may have, definitely come at me for them because I'm happy to answer them or help.
Yes. And don't forget to check out Jesse's podcast, Leaders of the West.
Yes. You can find that Instagram, and then it's just on the general Of the West Instagram page.
Thanks again for coming. I've enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, this was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm so grateful for you. If you found value in this episode, I'd love for you to share with others who might also benefit from tuning in. Share by word of mouth, send it in a text, take a screenshot and post it on social media, or share however you prefer. And if you haven't already, hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, draw good movement.